From physics to psychic is just a quantum leap. For the next hour, Santa Barbara author and psychic Pam Oseley is ready to take your call at 564-1290.
Pam provides valuable insight into your personal world,
your relationships, and how you can be more consciously aware of creating the life you want, the life you deserve. Call now, 564-1290, and make the leap.
Welcome to the show. This is Pam and David Jay in the studio with you on a beautiful Santa Barbara day.
Sure enough. What's a nice day today, Pam? How you doing?
I'm great. Very excited because, once again, we have an awesome guest. Mm-hmm. I love it when we get awesome guests on the air. We actually somehow finagled getting Dr. Joe Vitale on, who you, most of you will know from The Secret, well known there. He has a new book out called At Zero, The Quest for Miracles Through Ho'oponopono. And that's Hawaiian, and I used to live in Hawaii, so I know a lot about this subject.
It has nothing to do with Yoko Ono.
But Dr. Joe's got a great book. Dr. Joe Vitale, you've written a great book here that really explains Ho'oponopono, and I really appreciate that. So welcome to the show, and thank you for being our guest.
Oh, I've been excited about this. I even went and got a haircut, so I look my best on radio.
Excellent.
It's looking really good, really good.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, of course, a lot of people have no clue what Ho'oponopono is. Mm-hmm. So how about if we start there, describing what that is?
Well, they don't have to worry about the word. That's what trips everybody up. Ho'oponopono is a Hawaiian healing system, and it was kept secret for a very long time. I wrote about it in my first book, Zero Limits, about 6 years ago, and then did a follow-up with this new book called At Zero. But it's a way for people to heal themselves and heal others of every kind of concern you can think of, whether it's financial problems, relationship problems, health problems, anything that you can name. It has been used for that. It is very powerful. And when I heard about it, I thought, somebody has to tell the world. And I chose me.
Well, you've done a great book of explaining it at Zero is the name of the book. The Quest for Miracles Through Ho'oponopono. Now, we have to start out because you had some very dramatic things going on after you wrote this book, after the first book with this.
Yeah.
But let's start talking about Dr. Hu Lin, who introduced you basically to this, because this is a phenomenal story.
It really is. And the first time I heard the story, it was so phenomenal, I dismissed it. I thought, that can't be true. And the story was, there was a therapist who helped heal an entire ward of mentally ill criminals in a state institution in Hawaii. And the punchline was, he didn't do any traditional therapy. He didn't work with them directly. He did some sort of esoteric Hawaiian healing technique. And when I heard it, I thought, oh, come on, it sounds like an urban legend. He didn't actually see people. And I had to wait another year. I heard the story again, and I thought, okay, I got to investigate. And I found the therapist. At that point, there wasn't anything out there on him. There wasn't any books. There wasn't anything you can easily find on the Internet. Now, of course, it's all over the place because of my books. But his story was so amazing, so I tracked him down. The therapist's name is Dr. Hu Lin. I got him on the phone. We talked for an hour, and I flew out to where he was doing his next workshop. And from there, I trained with him in this Hawaiian healing technique, and I found out the story is true. He worked 4 years for this mental institution with patients who were so violent, they were shackled or sedated on a daily basis, and the nurses would quit because they hated being there. Doctors would quit because it was such a despicable place. And he ended up there because the institution needed somebody that was a therapist, licensed therapist, to be on staff for them to get their funds. And he agreed, but said, well, I'm going to do this thing that you might think is strange, but I'm going to do Ho'oponopono, and we'll just see what happens. Well, he did that, and within a few months, patients didn't have to be shackled or sedated. Some of them were being released. Within a year or so, many of them were being released because they were being described as being normal again. And after 4 years, they were all released, and the ward was closed. This was amazing. And I thought, my word, somebody has to tell this story, because if you can heal mentally ill, violent criminals who are shackled and sedated with this, what can the average person listening right now do in their own lives? That's what got me excited, and that's why I wrote the first book.
Well, what was amazing to me is the system that he used, the method that he used to heal these people. That's, to me, is what is powerful and mind-blowing. So
it is.
Can you start out explaining it before we go to our break, and we'll come back and get more into it. But how did he do this?
Well, he took full responsibility, and that's something we'll have to talk about at length as we come back into this conversation, because it's all about owning your personal power and realizing everything that's going on in your world is directly influenced by your belief system. So what he was doing was looking at the files of these patients, not the patients, but the files of them. And as he read their stories and he felt what he was feeling inside, which was rage and shame and embarrassment, he did this four-step process that's the essence of the Hawaiian healing method. And as he did it, within himself, he was influencing those patients, and they began to change because of the change he made in him. And this is where it gets real exciting, because you begin to realize that no matter what's going on in the world, you're experiencing it within yourself. When you take care of your feelings about it inside yourself, lo and behold, quite miraculously, the outer begins to reflect that change. That's what he was doing.
And see, that's what's so mind-blowing. And we are going to take a break and come back and talk more about it in depth, because it's amazing how you talk about we own responsibility for everything that's going on in our life. And of course, a lot of people got angry at you for that. But we're going to come back and talk more about the principle, and then we're going to get into details of what the steps look like. So stay with us. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Pamela Osley Show. You're listening. We run every Monday live at 5 on 1290 AM News Press Radio, or you can listen streaming live on my website, lifecolorscity.com. Show is also rerun on Sundays at 8 AM. So if you miss any of this valuable information, you can go hear it again. So Dr. Joe Vitale, and you said I can call you Joe now, right?
Yes, we're friends. We're buds.
Sure. All right. This man has written so many books, and the latest one is called At Zero, The Quest for Miracles Through Ho'oponopono. And let's get back into the concept, because this is, to me, one of the most exciting concepts, is owning responsibility for everything that goes on in your life, because there's really nothing outside of you. It's all you. So if you heal you, you heal, you make an effect on everything, quote unquote, that's outside of you.
Yeah.
So let's get into that.
Well, that's a big one, and that's the hardest one for most people to accept. So you've really gone for the throat here by going right to the deep end. And my favorite question that came from Dr. Hulan is, when I was first learning this process, he would look at me and say, have you ever heard the statement that you create your own reality? And I would say, yeah, of course. I'm one of the people who write about it. I get on a soapbox and tell the world, you create your own reality. And he said, well, if you create your own reality, and as he was a therapist at the mental institute, and these mentally ill criminals come into his life, didn't he co-create them? And he said the same thing. If you are having any sort of problem with a relative, a neighbor, a coworker, an employer, whatever it happens to be, didn't you create that too? And it really stretched my mind, because most of us think it's personal responsibility, meaning I'm responsible for what I say and do, but not for what anybody else says or does.
Mm-hmm.
But in this Hawaiian system that I write about in these books, they say everything is your responsibility. Dr. Hulan even says, have you ever noticed that when you have a problem, you are there?
Mm-hmm.
You are the common denominator. You are the participating force in all of these encounters that we have. And so this is the big one for people to take, and it's the one that really push buttons in people when they hear it, because they don't want to hear that it's their responsibility. And a lot of people hear, well, if it's my responsibility, then it's my fault, and I feel guilty, and I feel bad, and there must be something wrong with me. That's not what we mean. We mean that what's going on is your responsibility to change, but it's not your fault that it took place. That's a very important clarifying statement right there. So we can take in the idea that everything going on in our lives, good, bad, and different, everything that we notice out there is really inside of us. It's not about blaming ourselves. It's about correcting the issue. And that's really what the Hawaiian system is about. It's about correcting a wrong perception. Now, is another way to say it.
Right. And you had a lot of people upset at you. And I mean, I run across the same thing when I tout that we create our own reality, because people, they instantly go that you're blaming me, you're calling me a bad person. And we've been trained to believe that how you react is your responsibility, but you don't have any say over anything on the outside of you. So how do you, so this is a change, and it did upset a lot of people when your book came out, right?
It did. When Zero Limits came out, which was the first book and the most popular book ever, I mean, it became a bestseller. It's been translated all over the world. It sent me all over the world. It's really put the idea of this Hawaiian healing system out there mainstream. And I was so excited when the book was coming out. I expected the world to put me on its back and march me down the road on a parade and say, thank you, Joe Vitale. You've delivered this message of hope and healing and miracles to us. Thank you. Well, some people said that. But a lot of people looked at me and said, no, it can't be real. And you even invented Dr. Hulan. He's even a fictional character. You made it all up, which was amazing because the first book was co-authored by Dr. Hulan. And we did 3 seminars together, and there's video footage of us on YouTube. But people were so angry and so resistant to taking the idea that they were responsible for everything, including the problems in their lives, that they lashed out at me. And so I had to use my very own method on me. I had to use the very same Ho'oponopono method, the very thing that I write about in Zero Limits, and I tell the story of all this in the new book, At Zero. I had to do it all on me at first, and I'm going to be very blunt and just confess to you that at first I wanted to blame everybody else. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say, what's wrong with these people? How could they not see the power and beauty of this great gift to us of a method that was secret, and now I'm sharing it, and I'm doing it as a noble deed, as a person who's really proud and inspired to share it. How can they be like that? And then I realized, wait a minute, that's not owning responsibility.
You mean, and you had to walk your talk?
I had to walk my talk. I absolutely did. And so I turned within, and I said, okay, all of the things that are bothering me are actually in me. It's not about people who have wrote bad reviews for Zero Limits, especially the people who didn't even read the book. They just said, oh, it doesn't sound real, and so they posted bad reviews. When that affected me, it wasn't about the stranger who wrote a review. It was about my reaction to that review. And so I would go inside, and I'd feel it, and I'd be upset. And I'd say, okay, I'm upset. And then I'd say the 4 phrases, and these are the cornerstone phrases to the Hawaiian healing method. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. Those are the 4 phrases. You can say them in any order, but you say them inside yourself. You can say them out loud, and I talk about that in the new book. But it's not about trying to change somebody else. So you're not speaking to another person. I'm speaking to me, and inside myself, I'm imagining that I'm talking to the higher power. And for some people, that'll be God. For me, I like to call it the divine. Somebody else might call it nature or Gaia. There's all kind of words for that higher power. So you're having a prayer-like conversation, and you're making a petition, which is what I was doing. And I was saying, look, I don't know where these lousy feelings came from that attracted into my life these mean people who are lashing out at me. Somehow or other, I have a belief system that brought that into my life at that point in time. So I'm basically saying, I'm sorry for being unconscious to my own beliefs. Please forgive me for any part that I had, knowingly or unknowingly, in creating this. Thank you for erasing this negativity out of my system and changing my beliefs. And I love you, meaning I want to return to that state of unconditional acceptance. Love for myself, love for other people, love for the world. And I would say those 4 phrases, knowing that they were working on that level, till I got to a place of peace. And son of a gun, all that nonsense that went on with the first book died off. It all corrected. And more importantly than that, I was at peace.
So why is this so challenging for us to do, Joe? Why?
Yeah.
I mean, because we've been raised to believe that we're victims and there's things out of our control.
Yep. That's why, right there, Pam. I mean, that's really the million-dollar question and the answer. And I write about this in the new book, because I say there's 4 levels of consciousness. There's four levels of awakening, if you will. And all of us are born into the first level. I call it victimhood. It's not really a stage of awakening, but I got to start someplace. And in that stage, we all feel like we're alone, we're dependent, we're victims, we're powerless, we don't have enough energy or leverage to make a real difference in the world. We really feel like Henry David Thoreau had said that we're leading lives of quiet desperation. And most people live their entire lives and die that way. And so that's the level most people are on. And if I come from a level that's the third or fourth level of awakening, and I say, hey, great news, you actually have more power than you ever thought before. It's actually your responsibility for what's going on in your life. They react. As a victim, they're going, no, that can't be me. I can't be responsible for this. I was homeless in the 1970s, the late 70s in Dallas. And if somebody had come to me and said, hey, Joe, the fact that you are homeless is your responsibility, you know that? I might have hit them because I was in the victim mentality. And we have to get out of that. That's why I say the second level of awareness is empowerment. And that's when a movie like The Secret comes along, or the book The Secret, or any of my books, or some of the other books. There's a lot of success literature out there and self-help books that awaken people to the idea that, hey, you got more power than you ever thought. You can direct your life. You can change your life. You're not a victim. That's a wonderful stage to be in, because now it's thrilling and it's empowering and you've got energy and you can accomplish things and attract things. But that's not the end of the process, because there's still the third stage, which I call surrender. And I write about that in the book. And that happens to people, usually they get jolted in some way. There's a death in the family, or there's a sudden emergency that they can't handle. And I live in Texas, and a couple years ago we had these horrible wildfires that were destroying homes and hundreds of thousands of acres. And if I had complete control, I would have made it rain. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't. I was in stage three. I had to surrender. And at that stage, this is where you can work the Hawaiian healing process and start doing the four phrases on what's going on. And in fact, I did it for those fires. And when I started, I actually enlisted everybody that was on my email list, because I do internet marketing and I have a list of followers. And I told them about this whole method that's in the book. And they all started doing it. And those fires went out. So we can influence ourselves, we can influence others, but boy, are people resistant to hear it the first time around, because they don't want to be responsible.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait, so in the surrender phase, you had people putting out the fires?
I didn't have people putting those fires out. Those fires were going out on their own.
That's what I meant. I mean, you had people doing the four phrases.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I had people doing the four phrases. I had sent a note to my email list and said, look, I know you know about my book, Zero Limits, which was the one that was out, and you know the simplicity of this process. I'm asking everybody to go inside and to imagine the fires going out, and to say things like, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and to treat it as a kind of prayer or a song or a psalm, whatever the word is for people, and that they're talking to their connection to God, their connection to divinity. We're asking for help, because on an earth level, the fire people, the volunteers, they could not put those fires out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They were basically saying, this is beyond man's control.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? That's a clue to me. If it's beyond man's control, we got to give it to the higher power.
So, because we just did that here, too. I had everybody on Facebook asking for rain in California.
Yeah.
And we did it. We got rain, and we got more coming this week. Now, how is the difference? Is that not in the empowerment level of consciousness? That's actually in the surrender level of consciousness.
It's in the surrender level, because we're saying we don't know how to handle this particular problem, so we're turning it over.
I see. Okay.
But it's still a sense of, we're not dismissing any of the other levels. It's like we went to kindergarten at one point, but I still occasionally use what I learned in kindergarten. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I still use the alphabet, sometimes even get crayons out. But the whole point is we build and grow and still utilize everything beforehand.
Okay.
Even in surrender, I might be inspired to do something that's out of the empowerment stage. I might be inspired to say affirmations or to write out a script of my future reality. There's all kind of things I might do, but I'm surrendering to what I call the divine and asking it to solve the problem. And if it can show me a way to participate in solving the problem, wonderful, I'm there to do it. But I'm saying I can't do it on my own.
Okay, that's very cool. And I think sometimes we create the problems or the challenges being so huge that we have to do the surrender because there's no way our logical mind could figure out how to do that.
Oh, I love that you said that. I actually believe that all of the earth problems going on, and when people look out there in the world and they say, oh, the economy sucks or this and that is a problem, I think it's our wake-up call. Mm-hmm. I think the divine is actually kicking us in the shins and saying, look, you can keep trying it your way if you like, but your ego is just going to keep running you into a wall. This is your chance to surrender to a spiritual source. And when we do that, we can resolve what people are perceiving to be the problems. So I see all the shakeup that goes on is actually shaking us up so we relook at where we want to put our focus.
Agreed. Totally agreed. We're going to take a quick commercial break here, and we have been speaking with Dr. Joe Vitale. Join us. We'll be right back. We're going to discuss more about At Zero, his latest book, and the four levels of consciousness, and a lot of other things. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are not necessarily those of AM 1290 or the Santa Barbara News Press. The program's validity is for you to decide.
Welcome back to the show again. You're listening to the Pam Oesley Hour, and we are speaking with our special guest today, Dr. Joe Vitale. We're talking about his latest book, At Zero, The Quest for Miracles Through Ho'oponopono. You can go to his website, www.atzerobook.com. And get his book and learn all about this because, to me, this is, well, I used to live in Hawaii, so I've known about Ho'oponopono. That's why I can even say it. I was trying to make David say it. It wasn't working for a long time, but you explain it really well in the book. So we've got four levels of consciousness that you've discussed, victim, empowerment, a little bit more about surrender. Now, what's the difference between, you know, because a lot of us think of surrender as giving up.
Yeah.
Well, how do you mean surrender?
Oh, I don't mean giving up at all. I don't mean giving up at all. I am a very active person. When people look at me, they go, how did you write 50 books? And I'm now a musician. I got my seventh album in production right now. And I'm doing all these different things. I've got a miracles coaching program, and I travel, and I do this and that and the other. Just nonstop busy. And
we're just trying to keep you off the streets, Joe. That's
right.
Yeah, keep him busy so he stays out of trouble.
So, well, you're keeping me in the airports, but off the streets, yeah. And so what am I doing here? I'm surrendering to my calling. I'm surrendering to inspiration. It doesn't mean give up. It doesn't mean sit in a corner and sulk. It doesn't mean that you're powerless. In fact, it means, in many cases, the opposite. You are using all of your forces, all of your energy, your brain power, your spirit, everything, to move forward and do what you want. But at the same time, you're admitting that you can't control the universe. You are not God. And out of that feeling of, I do have power, I do have can make a difference, but I can't do it all, you are enlisting and working with these higher forces, this greater spirituality, what some call divine. And when I work with that, then my results are amazing. I mean, if you consider I was homeless at one point, and now I'm a musician, author, living the lifestyle of the rich and famous, it's mind-blowing even to me. I sit here going, this happened to me? But me? I can still remember being on the streets. I can still remember not, you know, no car, no house, no friends, no money, no job, no nothing. And here I am with this abundance of everything. It's proof that, A, anybody can change. Anybody can change. Whatever's going on in a person's life, it's simply temporary reality. It'll change all by itself in time, but you can accelerate that change by doing a lot of things that you probably talk about on your show that are empowering, but also by enlisting the help of this divine source, what I call a higher power or divinity, and surrendering to it by saying, look, this is what I'd like to do, but not my will be done, yours be done. So it's not giving up, it's not rolling over, it's not quitting, it's not that kind of a feeling. It's more of an empowered surrender to something bigger than you that you work with. You
right.
become a co-creator with to get the results you want.
That's a good way to say it. I like the word aligning with.
That's a great one. You are aligning with it, absolutely. Yes. In fact, when I think back to when I struggled the most, it's when I was resisting alignment.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I would look at my ego, and my ego would say, oh, try this, do this, blah, blah, blah. And every time I do, I would get hurt. And then when I started realizing, wait, my inspiration, my intuition was always nudging me to be in alignment with this other force. when I started to listen and act on it, things got better.
Okay, so here's a question that comes up a lot then, Joe. How do you know if you're listening to something greater or your ego is still talking?
That's a great question. I once asked Dr. Hulen about that, and he said, you don't always know the difference. Sometimes it's clear as a bell, and it's just by feeling it, you'll go, oh, yeah, that's spirit, or, oh, yeah, that's ego. And you want to always choose the higher ground, go with spirit. But what Dr. Hulen said was, when he has to make a decision and he's not clear if it's coming from his ego or it's coming from spirit, he cleans on it three times. Now, the phrase cleaning means you do the whole Ho'oponopono process. You say, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And he would do it two or three times. In his case, he said three times. And if the inspiration is still there to go and do it, he does it. He trusts that the inspiration is coming from a divine source. Now, for me, I weigh everything. So, in other words, I do have a few cars here, so I've collected a couple cars. If my mind said, hey, Joe, why don't you have the largest car collection on the planet? Why don't you get one bigger than Jay Leno? And then you can go out there on TV and say, I got a bigger car collection than Jay Leno. That's pure ego. Mm-hmm. I can hear it and I can feel it. But the cars that I do have, I never even tried to buy them. They would just show up. I ended up with Steven Tyler's car, the singer from Aerosmith. Mm-hmm. I ended up with Patrick Dempsey's car, the actor from Grey's Anatomy. I didn't go after any of those cars. I was in the right place in the right time, and it just was presented to me, and my inside said, yeah, do this. And I said, yes. That's more of the spirit-guided feeling. But the first one, hey, go get the biggest car collection in the world, that's an ego-driven feeling. So paying attention with some sort of sensitivity and objectivity can help us discern them. But Dr. Hulen said, sometimes you don't know, but you want to clean on it so that you can get the best clarity you can.
Okay, so can you repeat those four statements again so people
yes.
can really hear them?
Yeah, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And thank you.
And again, who are you saying these to?
Yeah, you're saying them to your connection to a higher power. And I'm phrasing it that way because for some people that means you're saying it to God. For me, I'm saying it to the divine. For somebody else, they might say I'm saying it to nature, the force that's keeping us all together. Whatever works for you, you're saying it to your higher power. You're saying it to the force that's beyond you, that's animating your life, that's giving you breath right now.
So you're not saying it to your smaller ego, yourself?
No.
Okay.
No, you're not saying it to yourself actually at all, because you're saying it inside yourself, and again, you can say it out loud, but not to another person. You're saying these statements to a connection to divinity. Just imagine that it's a prayer. And you're saying this prayer to whatever you think is the source listening to this. And it might be guardian angels for somebody else. But in Ho'oponopono, they traditionally say you're saying them to divinity. Divinity gave you life. Divinity is what's keeping us all on the planet and keeping all the laws of gravity and everything else working. That force is what you're saying them to. Now, as I say this, I want to quickly jump in because I've heard all the questions over the years. And a lot of people object to saying, I'm sorry, or please forgive me. So the four phrases are, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. And some people say, I don't want to say I'm sorry, I didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a stumbling block for them. And I remembered coming up with this example that I write about in the new book. If I was walking through a grocery store, or I'm in a mall or something, and I bump into somebody, I would turn and say, I'm sorry. It doesn't mean that I'm bad. It doesn't mean that I'm guilty. It doesn't mean that I am at fault in some way. It means, I'm sorry, I was unconscious. I didn't see you there. I didn't mean it.
Mm-hmm.
That same level of meaning is what's behind, I'm sorry and please forgive me. It's not an admittance of guilt. It's an admittance of unconsciousness.
Now, okay, so what's behind the, when you're saying, I'm sorry, I can imagine that divine doesn't need an apology from you because divine
right.
already knows everything. So is the benefit for us to,
yes.
what's the benefit in us saying, I'm sorry to the divine?
Oh, you're good at this. That's a great question. You should have your own radio show and do it on a regular basis.
Oh, somebody needs to tell someone about that then.
You are saying all of these phrases to delete beliefs within yourself. All of these phrases, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, all of these are for your benefit. They're a little bit like talking to a higher power and saying, you know, I wasn't really aware of my beliefs about money. I'm really sorry that I had those beliefs. I don't even know where they came from. Please forgive me for those. It's an acknowledgement of an unconsciousness. And the divine hears that. It's almost like, now I'm stretching for an example, but it's almost like a child going to an uncle and saying, you know what, I'm sorry I broke your guitar. You know, I bumped into it. I didn't really mean it. And the uncle hears that and realizes, oh, that's really a good-hearted person who is saying they're sorry and they want forgiveness because they did something they weren't even aware of. They're coming from a pure source, and they let it go. They let it go.
Mm-hmm. But does that help? That helps the child let it go, then, if we're using that analogy.
Absolutely. But it's mm-hmm. also, when we say it, it's helping us.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So what's the fourth level of consciousness?
Oh, good. Yeah, the fourth level I didn't know about when I wrote Zero Limits, and that's why that first book is lacking in at least that description, because I said there were three levels of consciousness, and I stopped it with surrender because I was talking about Ho'oponopono, and I was talking about surrender, and that's where I knew it to be. But I've been doing this for the last 7 years, and as I've been doing it, I'm still growing, I'm still changing, I'm transforming, I'm cleaning myself up. I'm a human, too, and I'm having a spiritual experience, and I'm doing my best to streamline everything so I have this nonstop magic and miracles in my own life. Along the way, I've had my own awakenings, and that's when it dawned on me that the fourth stage is awakening. The fourth stage is enlightenment. That's when divinity, if you will, lives and breathes through you. There's no longer the interference. Up till then, we have interference in us. The divine is trying to speak to us, trying to inspire us, trying to guide us, trying to lead us. But we have beliefs in us that are filtering all of those nudges that are coming within us. So we talk ourselves out of them. First, we may not even hear them. And then next, we might say, oh, not me. I'm not good enough. I don't have the right money. I don't have the education. I don't have the experience. I don't have blah, blah, blah. The list goes on and on and on. And so awakening comes by grace. There is no way to make it happen that I'm aware of, because to make it happen is coming from the ego. The ego would say, hey, tell me how to make myself awakened, and I'll go make myself awakened. Well, the ego isn't involved in awakening, so the ego can't do an awakening. You can prepare yourself for the fourth stage, and I believe this practice that I describe in the new book is the way to do that. I'm sure there's lots of ways that people can be awakened. I know that there's a lot of people that can be awakened without doing anything, because it comes from grace. It comes from the divine's will, not from the individual will. But that fourth stage is awakening or enlightenment.
That's great. We're going to take our last commercial break here. Stay with us. We're going to come back and speak more to Dr. Joe Vitale about his new book, At Zero, and we have a few more questions for him. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Pam Oseley Hour, and we are speaking with our special guest today, Dr. Joe Vitale, his new book, At Zero. You can go to his website, atzerobook.com, and you can hear the show again on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time. You can also go to my website, lifecolorscity.com. All the shows are archived there. You can go back and listen to it again and again and again, so you can really get this sinking in. So a few more quick questions for you, Joe.
Okay.
First of all, what does it mean really to live at zero? Since that's the name of the book, At Zero, what does that mean?
Well, that's where we live when we don't have any beliefs or limitations or lack or scarcity, and all the filtering systems that were downloaded to us from birth on up to this moment are gone. We're able to live at this sense of peace and awe and appreciation and gratitude, and we're able to hear the inspirations that are given to us from the divine. Dr. Hulen said, in any moment, you have two choices. You can live from memory or you can live from inspiration. Almost all of us are living from memory, which means we have a belief that's there from a past experience, and we've hung on to that belief as this is the way life is. And it filters every moment, so we don't see the magic of now. And inspiration means you can see the magic of now, and you're open to an inspired idea or thought or whatever it happens to be from the divine. So living at zero is living in this blank state of wonderful awareness where you're in a state of bliss, and you're still operating as a human being, obviously. You're not brain dead, but you are without the limiting beliefs that all of us have had up to this point.
And some of this cleaning is about getting rid of those beliefs.
That's the whole purpose of this. That's why I wrote Zero Limits in this new book, At Zero, to give people a way to delete those limiting beliefs so they can see the miracle of now.
Oh, awesome. So, Joe, I have a question for you. I have a question for you. Jeez. What do you see our purpose for being on this planet as? What do you see our purpose?
Oh, I love that. I love that question. I believe we are here to awaken. I believe life is a process of awakening. And everything we're going through, everything for each individual person is all different, but everything we're going through is to shake us to loosen the beliefs that attracted the experience so that we can be free. Life is about awakening.
Awakening. So where were we before? Where were we before we came here? If we weren't awake then, where were we?
You mean before we were even born?
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to ask me in my next life because I don't know.
Oh, okay. So here's the next question then. Where do you see us going?
Oh, that's a great question too. Well, you know, we're at a choice point here because as long as we keep blaming other people and looking outside of ourselves, we're going to keep shaking up our lives and shaking up the planet. However, if we choose to come from empowerment and come from faith and surrender to the divine and work with it, we can transform the planet to be one of magic and miracles. I gave a talk a long time ago where I handed out pieces of a jigsaw puzzle to everybody, and everybody got one piece, but they didn't know what the end photo was supposed to look like. And I said, when each person walks up and puts their piece on the board, we will have a complete masterful painting here. But as long as you hold the one piece and you don't put it on the board, we're not going to get that final painting. Every person listening right now, including you and me and everybody involved in the show, we all have a piece of the puzzle to contribute. We need to follow our passion, listen to inspiration, clean up our beliefs so that we can contribute our piece of the puzzle. When we do, life works.
And so how does that fit with Dr. Hewland saying there's nothing out there? Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, there isn't anything out there. Everything that we perceive is inside of ourselves. This is why all the work has to be done inside of ourselves, including following our passion. I'm following my passion. I'm now a musician. I got 7 albums out. That wasn't there 3 years ago. I'm following my passion. It's my piece of the puzzle. It has nothing to do with the outside world. It has nothing to do with anybody out there approving, disapproving, or anything like that. It's all about me following my passion because, and only because, inspiration from the divine said, Joe, this is next for you. It's all an inside job, and that works totally with what Dr. Hulen says, because he's saying all he's doing, his piece of the puzzle, is to clean and teach others to clean.
And so if you become enlightened and you're responsible and there's nothing out there, does the rest of the world then become enlightened?
Wow, that's a wonderful question. Dr. Hulen has often said that when you clean up your own belief system, you do it for everybody that you're perceiving to be out there. In other words, the beliefs that we have within us that are lack and limiting beliefs, they're shared beliefs. When I take care of me, I'm actually also taking care of you. And part of the reason for that is all of what I'm experiencing is in me. You are in me. The listeners are in me. When I take care of me, I'm taking care of you and all the listeners because you're in me.
Mm-hmm. So will you hurry up and wake up so that we all can be awake then?
Hey, I'm dancing as fast as I can. I'm moving as fast as I can.
And I understand you're also doing some music now, Joe. Tell us a little bit about that story.
I am having such a rush, and this is a proof that magic and miracles comes from Ho'oponopono, because when I turned 57 3 years ago, I was inspired to become a musician. I didn't sing, didn't even sing in the shower. I had a couple of guitars but didn't know how to play. Never went into a recording studio, never wrote any music, never did any of that stuff. But inspiration said, you know what, you need to now start doing music. And more than that, I need to be the world's first self-help singer-songwriter. Wow. I said, okay, that's really making me nervous, but okay. And I used all the Ho'oponopono stuff, the 4 phrases on my nervousness, my inadequacies, my growth in a new area. And this week, my 7th album is in production. It's amazing. I've been in Rolling Stone magazine. I've had 10 of my songs were nominated for the Posse Award, which is the Grammys of Positive Music. And I'm having just about more fun in this area than I have in almost any area I've ever done. But I wasn't a musician 3 years ago.
So this shows that when you're clean and when you've cleaned up all your old beliefs, limiting beliefs, that you're aligned with something higher, you've surrendered, you know who you are, and you move into that state, it sounds like anything's possible, and it doesn't feel like you're struggling with it, Joe.
Thank you. You said that so well. First of all, anything is possible. For anybody listening, anything is possible. Miracles are indeed real. And once you get rid of the lack of limiting beliefs, of the self-doubts and everything, there is an ease to everything. I still put in my time. In fact, I just picked up the saxophone a month ago, and I'm playing the saxophone every day. And it's easy. I'm not a master at playing the saxophone, but it's easy for me to say, I'm now going to learn the saxophone. I'm now going to take lessons. I am now, at some point, going to record with the darn thing. Why? Because inspiration says to do it. And how? Because there's no blocks in me saying you can't do it.
So all of this information is in your new book, At Zero.
Yes.
The Quest for Miracles Through Ho'oponopono. So how can people, first of all, find your book?
The book is at Amazon. It's in bookstores. It's all over the place. It's in the Kindle reader for your iPad or whatever. There's an audio version of it, and, of course, the printed hardcover version is out there. I put up a website at www.atzerobook.com, and if people go to the atzerobook.com website and buy the book, they can get hundreds of dollars worth of freebies that come from the purchase as a kind of reward for doing it at the site. So atzerobook.com is the best place to go.
And how did they find your music?
Oh, my music. It's on iTunes. It's on CD Baby. And one of the albums is at healingrockmusic.com. Healingrockmusic.com.
So if everyone rushes out right now, or just online even, you don't even have to go anywhere and get your book, what are they going to, in the last 60 seconds we have with you, what are they going to get out of your book?
Freedom. Freedom. They'll realize that they have a way out of the mess. A way out of the struggle, a way out of the nightmare. All the things that they're dealing with right now, there is a key to unlock the door to freedom, and I describe it in the book, At Zero.
That's awesome. So the book is called At Zero, The Quest for Miracles Through Ho'oponopono. You show steps, how they do it, the four steps in there, the four phrases that you use, the different levels of awakening. And before we go, what is the most important thing you want people to hear right now?
To change the entire planet, including yourself, it's all done on the inside of you by simply saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of just letting go, relaxing, and trusting, huh?
Oh, isn't that a better way to live life?
Yeah, it sounds like you're having a lot more fun than most people out there, Joe. So whatever he's having, I'll have that too, okay? Dr. Joe Vitale, thank you so much for being on the show. Everyone, you can go out and get his book. Go check out his website, www.atzerobook.com. And Dr. Joe, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Pam. I'll come back anytime you want.
Well, we will definitely have you back on. Thank you so much. And everyone, we'll see you next week. And join us then. Bye-bye.
AM 1290's quantum psychic Pam Osley, thank you for your time and open mind in furthering the discussion of bringing the unknown to light in our daily lives, where spirit and science evolve and revolve around each other. The viewpoints expressed in this program are not necessarily those of AM 1290 or the Santa Barbara News Press. The program's validity is for you to decide. Yet, a leap forward in mankind's expanding consciousness requires a look within. Thanks for making the leap.